Good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday morning, the 19th of February, 2019. The Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Proverbs 3:5 and Proverbs 2:6. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. 1 Corinthians 1:25. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, that no flesh should glory in his presence. 1 Corinthians 1:27 and 29. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Good morning, Joseph Venithi. Psalm 119, 130, and Psalm 119, 11. All bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Never man spake like this man. Luke 4:22. O him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. John 7:46 and 1 Corinthians 1:30. Well, Christ is perfect wisdom. He is the perfect Logos. Good morning, Ashley. Good to see you this morning. I hope you're doing well. And you're not getting too hot over there in the Philippines. And you're able to sustain be sustained by God's grace in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. There's a lot of, those in the Arminian church don't realize it, but they are pretty much the same as Roman Catholicism. I remember when I was a child coming up, I attended a Arminian elementary school and an elementary high school. I mean, Arminian elementary school and an Arminian high school. And I was talking to my mom one day, and good morning, Chris Pahak. And I asked mom, there was a Catholic church like two blocks from the school that I attended called the Queen of the Holy Rosary. That was the name of the church and the school. And I asked my mom, what's the difference in the Catholics and us, speaking of the Arminian church and school that we attended. And she says, oh, their doctrine's just a little different. They believe a little differently than we do. they really don't. They believe in our salvation, just like the Arminians do. In the Council of Trent, that document says that if anyone upholds the free will of man, let them be anathema. That's part of the Council of Trent. And so I've often told people that's one doctrine, false doctrine, that pretty much all religions can agree upon. All false religions. That's one doctrine that all false religion. And you know what? It's not just religions that believe in that. The doctrine of free will. The agnostics believe they have a free will. The atheists believe they have the free will. The Humanist Manifesto proclaims the free will of man. The philosophers, Socrates, Kant. You go back and study the philosophers. Plato. They all affirm the free will of man. What does that mean exactly? Well, that means that they are in the denial of original sin, that we were born and conceived in sin. So, anyway, I see Ashley is planning on coming back home soon. Hope you have a safe trip and everything goes well for you. And that, there are no unintended consequences. Notice I said intended. All consequences are orchestrated by God Almighty. He ordains all things. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. And by him all things consist. I kind of got off track there. I was thinking when Ashley came on about all of the Roman Catholicism in us, you know, in the Philippines. It runs rampant in Argentina, in Bolivia, in Brazil, Central America. And it's just so prevalent. We know that Pope Francis was one of the top dogs in Argentina before he became the first Jesuit priest in the Roman Catholic Church. But anyway, I was thinking about wisdom, the perfect Logos, Jesus Christ. The atheists and agnostics want to say that the Christians are not rational. They're living in a fantasy world. But anyone who's outside of Jesus Christ is living in unreality, because the Bible says that in him we live and move and have our being. And it also says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the perfect Logos. He is all wisdom. And, you know, the wisdom of man is foolishness. We can see that in our scientism. Notice I said scientism. Man wants to think he has so much wisdom and then creates a false cosmology in his mind. You know, millions and millions of dollars are put to unreality in movies. Think about it. When I was younger, before God revealed truth to me, I would spend hours watching Star Trek, Spock, you know, unreality. Many people have spent a lot of money on Star Wars figurines, and Star Wars, you know. How many ministers do I know that exalt C.S. Lewis, who was by his own admission, you might as well call him Roman Catholic. C.S. Lewis denied substitutionary atonement. He saw the value of praying to Mary. Which is necromancy, praying to the dead. C.S. Lewis is put up on a pedestal as being a great Christian leader. excuse me, and he wrote all of these books that feed people's unreality. Not biblical at all. Well, wisdom. People used to promote Francis Schaeffer. And Francis Schaeffer sought after the wisdom of man. You know, when people start putting faith in anything other than the Word of God and Jesus Christ, there's a problem. Charles Spurgeon, they said he had a library of thousands of books. He read everything. And a lot of people don't understand why I'm a critique of Charles Spurgeon, but Charles Spurgeon in his later life began to waffle in his doctrine. And that's why I do not put likes, even though Charles Spurgeon preached a lot of truth. He also condoned a lot of lies. He condoned a lot of lies. He invited D.L. Moody into his pulpit at the Metropolitan Tabernacle. D.L. Moody was a flaming Arminian. Spurgeon made a lot of statements regarding the love of God that lended itself to universalism. You can read Spurgeon and see that. Yes, even though he was strong oftentimes in his teachings on the doctrines of election and predestination, he was very weak in compromising with those who were not strong in election. And so I've had a problem with that. I'm not going to endorse people who reinforce others who deny the Word of God. It gets back to our talk show program that we had last night regarding John MacArthur and his affiliating with the likes of Rick Warren. And the reason I point these things out is that oil and water don't mix. Have you ever tried mixing oil with water? They separate. You can't mix the profane with the truth. They just don't mix. And when you try to mix them, you have a hodgepodge, a mess. That's what you have. That's why you have people like John MacArthur and Piper and the former president of the Southern Baptist Convention, Albert Mohler, and Rick Warren, all in cahoots. Rick Warren is the furthest thing from biblical Christianity that you can get. You can look at his book, Purpose Driven Life. Look at the titles in that book. That'll tell you a lot. He denies, he would say he believes in election and predestination, but he denies it in word, thought, and deed. He says that you determine your own destiny by your own choices. He upholds the doctrine of free will. So, anyway, wisdom is is something that is revealed by the Holy Spirit of God to His elect. It's called not only being quickened by the Holy Spirit of God, but it's also called prevailing grace. In other words, God's grace is not a one-time born-again experience. God's grace is, there are millions and millions and millions of examples of God's grace within God's elect. Good morning, Charles Amoroco. So, when we look at the wisdom of this world, there's no wisdom in it as far as spiritually. Oh, they may have some intelligence. They may have ability to do certain things. God's given gifts to men and so on. But at the same time, there's no spiritual worth in any of man's wisdom apart from God providing it to his people. That's why we look at organizations like NASA and we have to shake our heads. It's a cult. It was founded on occultism. Parsons was really into the cult, the founder of NASA. Weishaupt, the Illuminati, the Masonic Lodge. NASA is full of masonry. And so we can't just hide our heads in the sand regarding these things, can we? Say, well, we have to overlook all of these things. Just accept people and love people. And we don't have to deal with second causes, you know. Well, God is the first and last cause of all things. God is sovereign over NASA. God is sovereign over evil. God is sovereign over Satan. God is sovereign over the non-elect angels who fell with Satan. A third of them fell to this earth. God is sovereign over it. But Scripture says that there will come a time when they call evil good and good evil. That's the time we're living in. If you take a stand against sodomy, you're a bigot. Take a stand against scientism and false cosmology, you're a loony. If you uphold what the Bible says regarding the earth and the fact that it's fixed and stationary, you're considered to be in the Dark Ages. Well, I want to thank everyone that's joined us this morning. And I can't see everyone on the screen here. But I do want to welcome everyone on board. Joseph Saracen, welcome aboard. Pedro Calavandico. Pedro, I'm glad that we finally coordinated and got together. I've been thinking about you, brother. And I know you're busy. And I appreciate your faithfulness in it's good to see you with us. Yes, I'm like you. I didn't realize it until I really got into studying what Charles Spurgeon was doing in the latter part. In fact, when he was preaching there at the Metropolitan, they said at the latter part of his life, he would preach election and predestination in the morning and preach free will in the evening. He began to compromise. I pray that God would see fit to not allow me to compromise the truth of the sovereign God in all things, and not ever give place to Satan and his doctrines of and lies of free will. And I agree with you that many Christians really uphold C.S. Lewis as the greatest thing since sliced bread. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Aslan, representing Jesus Christ, and so on. Well, do you know that here's the thing. I remember my dad used to be a big, big fan of Charles Spurgeon. Yeah. And I pointed some things out to my dad regarding Charles Spurgeon. He didn't want to hear it. We don't want to hear bad things that people are doing. I mean, if you heard something about Larry Phillips that was contrary to the Bible that I was touting, I would hope that if you loved me, you would come to me and say, "Hey, Larry, is this really true? Do you actually uphold this?" If it was contrary to the Bible, I would hope that you would come to me. You know, we all have erred. We all have veered from the truth at times. I know I have. I know over the years I've done and said things, and then when confronted with, you know, people come to, "Where did you get that, Larry?" A lot of what we uphold and subscribe to is through our mind control seminaries, that people that have come out of seminaries that have touted all of these lies, like Common Grace, for an example, or a general call of salvation. Those are not even biblical terms, common grace. Grace is the most uncommon thing, you know. What did Christ tell Peter? Don't call anything common or unclean, right? In other words, God's grace is effectual for all for whom he died. If you ever want to do a study on that, where the common grace thing came from and where it led to, it's very interesting. In 1924, there was a split in the Christian Reformed Church over that very issue. I'm not going to get too off track and go down that rabbit hole this morning. The general call. There's no general call. There's no well-meant offer of the gospel. Okay, the gospel is not, we're not used car salesmen making an offer to someone like we would a car. The gospel's not available to all. God didn't make the gospel available to all. These were lies. And I can substantiate it with the very scripture that those who tout it, the same scripture, to try to prove it. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved." Well, is he speaking of the world of all people? Or is he speaking of the world of his elect? He has to be speaking of the world of his elect, both Jew and Gentile, all kindreds, from every tongue, every nation. Because if it was God's, "For God so loved the world," if God loved the world, meaning every woman, girl, boy, and man without exception, then all the world would, in effect, be saved. you have to keep things in context. 2 Peter 3:9. God is not willing that any should perish, to usward, but all should come to repentance. Who are the uswards? The world of God's elect. The world of God's elect. Yes, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but for God's people, who is the 53rd chapter of Isaiah directed to? Is it directed to all men without exception, including all of those who never believe upon him? No, it's not. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I've heard people say that Christ's atonement was for all, but it wasn't effectual for all. That's ridiculous. That's sophistry. That's sophistry. God didn't spill his blood on the cross. He shed his blood for many. So a lot of people want to teach this doctrine of propitiation for all, but effectual for his elect. It's a lie. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. All that the Father hath given will come to me. Anyway, that's kind of my thoughts this morning, you know. And so when people start teaching these false concepts of the atonement, you know, why would they say that God made it possible for all men to be saved? Because they have to uphold the doctrine of free will, that it's based upon man's response as to whether he obtains salvation or not. It's not based upon our response. It's based upon the completed work of Jesus Christ shedding his blood for his people. He came to save his people from their sins. I get a little animated talking about this. The crux of the matter is that when people start talking about God made it possible for all men to be saved, there's a general call, there's a well-man offer, there's common grace, there's possibility for salvation. No. It's absolutely a decree by God, and it's certain. He's immutable. He was slain from the foundation of the world. His purpose was clear. He came to save his people from their sins, not make it possible for them to be saved. So, wisdom is justified of her children. In other words, Jesus Christ is the one who loved us with an everlasting love. That's why I spend so much on Ephesians 1 and 2. We were predestinated unto adoption. Not everyone was predestinated unto adoption. So the merits of Christ's blood was not intended for those who were not predestinated unto adoption. Well, I hope you have a good day today, and I hope you'll think on these things. May the good Lord be with each one of you. It's my prayer. And I would strongly recommend, if you get a chance, and I say this often, the reason that I share this with you is because it had such a profound impact upon my thinking. Because I was so ingrained in, you know, understand that this old boy went to the University of Kansas and majored in psychology. You don't think there was some mind control in all of that? And God foreordained that I go through all of that garbage, I think, to more clearly see the lies of the humanistic doctrines of free will, because it's ingrained in psychology. Carl Rogers was an occultist, and most of the psychologists were ingrained in the occult. Freud, Carl Jung, B.F. Skinner. Listen, I've studied all those folks. And as a part of my major, I had to become very ingrained in all that auto-suggestion, psychotherapy, all of that. But I would highly suggest, if you want to get a further understanding of what I'm talking about, because this is what God used to get this old boy, a brand plucked from the fire, okay, out of it. Start by reading the ninth chapter of Romans. And when you read the ninth chapter of Romans, don't go into reading it. In other words, pray and ask God to allow you to accept the ninth chapter of Romans just the way it is written, not the way cemeterians present it. Just read it. Just read the ninth chapter of Romans. Then after you do that, read the sixth chapter of John. Okay? And then after you read the sixth chapter of John, read the tenth chapter of John. Okay? And then read the 17th chapter of John. And after you read those four chapters, if you have any doubts regarding whether the free will of man is biblical or not, then all I can say is God has not revealed himself to you. That's all I can say. Well, God bless you guys. Have a great day. And, may God be true and every man a liar.
Okay. I'm gonna shave now, Dad.